those young ladies write letters to missionaries. And she was trying to explain to the little girls that the missionaries are very busy and they might not have time to write back and return a response, and not to be discouraged if they didn't get a response back from the missionaries. And one little girl took it to heart and she said this. She said, "Dear missionary, we are praying for you and we are not expecting an answer." I hope that's not the case for us. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." When I look here at Daniel, I think, number one, about the exaltation of prayer. Daniel didn't just start praying when Darius made this decree. Daniel already had an established testimony. He was already seeking the face of God before this moment. He had been praying before the Medes and the Persians conquered Babylon. He had been praying before Babylon came and brought him into captivity. He was a young man that was praying each and every day. Most people, when they're taken into captivity or into oppression, they would have collapsed because of the pressure and because of the stress and because of the socioeconomic change and the culture change that was going on in his world. We've seen culture change. We've seen pressures and stresses like we have never seen before. I would encourage you, if you don't have a prayer life, get one. You better start tonight. Daniel had already started praying. He had an established testimony. He was experiencing a great trial. When the Medes and the Persians took over, the Bible says in verse 1 that Darius, he set 120 princes over the kingdom. And over those would be three presidents. Verse 3, "This Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him." Underline that in my Bible. Is there an excellent spirit in me? The Holy Spirit lives in me. He's pretty excellent. Do I allow him to manifest himself? Do I allow him to give witness? Oh boy, we sure need to. The Bible says the king thought to set him over the whole realm. But the other presidents, the two other presidents and the 120 princes, they didn't like that. They didn't like a Jew coming in being over everybody. And they thought to trip him up. And he's in a trial. But they couldn't find anything in his life. He didn't watch any explicit videos. He didn't type out any explicit texts. He had done nothing wrong that they could craft and find a reason to point their finger at him. So they said, "We're going to have to trip him up under the laws of his very own God. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to call that which is wrong, right. And if we make that which is wrong, right, then we'll trip him up." And they went before the king and said, "Oh, king, live forever. Will you make a new law? There are people in your kingdom that are praying to the face of other gods and rather than seeking your face." And Darius said, "I can't believe it." And they said, "Oh, yes, it's true. You ought to make a law that for 30 days, anybody that does not pray in your name, that they ought to be arrested and thrown in the lion's den." That is a severe trial because the king of all the land has said, if you pray in the name of the Lord God Almighty, you're going to be thrown in the lion's den. Well, we've seen crazy things happen in the world in which we live as well. We live in a world in which prayer does not fit our culture anymore. And it's sad. And during this time of trial, what does Daniel do? Does he go in the closet? The Bible says you ought to enter into your closet and seek the face of the Lord. That's a good place to pray. He could have went in the closet and shut the door to pray. But see, he had already established a testimony that every day, three times a day, He had the windows open and he sought the face of the Lord his God. And he said, I am not going to do anything different than I've done before. If I prayed yesterday, I'm going to pray today and I plan on praying tomorrow. No matter what law, no matter what decree is signed, I'm moving forward for the cause of Christ. So he began to express truth. Knowing that new law, the Bible says he had the window open and he prayed. He did not let circumstances and he did not let consequences dictate his decision to serve God. The Bible says we ought to obey God rather than men. And as soon as he was praying, they came and laid hands on him. They arrested him, brought him before the king, and the king realized he had been duped. The king realized he had been tricked into throwing his very own preferred man that had an excellent spirit. He had been tricked to throw him in the lion's den. And sure enough, those ravenous lions roaring they were, they threw the man of God in the lion's den and walked away. And that night the king was up all night. He was miserable. He was worried to death about what was going to happen to Daniel. But I believe that Daniel got a good night's sleep on a sort of perfect sleeper. He fluffed up a lion mane, amen, and slept down between two of them and got a good night's rest because the Lord found innocency in Daniel and the Lord sent his angel and shut the mouths of those lions. Amen. Good kitty kitty. And he laid down between and he went to sleep. Hallelujah to God. The next morning, the king, who had been up all night, Daniel, who was in the lion's den, had slept greatly. The king came down there and said, oh, Daniel, is the God you serve able to deliver you? And he got up and said, oh, king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut these lions' mouths. And he's delivered me, praise God. And king, even before you, I've done you no hurt. I've not backtalked you. I've not sassed you. I understand. In fact, I prayed for you during the night, king. And I'm going to tell you what the king did. He took that wicked bunch that had duped him and tricked him, and he took them and threw them in the lion's den. And probably they thought, well, if they didn't eat Daniel, they won't eat us. But now they're really hungry because they've been fasting all night long beside the man of God. And now all those lions are dead. I'm just telling you, when I read this scripture, I see an exaltation of prayer. We ought to pray no matter what. We need to pray in every circumstance of life, in every season of life. We need to be praying. Praying is, listen, I need tonight to come in the house of God. I needed to breathe. When I walked through the doors, I was breathing. When I went to the prayer room, I was breathing. When I walked in the sanctuary, I was breathing. While the choir was singing, I was breathing. Guess what? What that breathing is to my body, prayer is to my spiritual life. Are you praying in your spiritual life? If you're breathing physically, you need to be praying spiritually. Amen. I believe tonight you would have not gotten to the house of God in your car if you didn't have gas in it. You would have been a fool to go out and sit in your car, knowing that the light had come on and all the gas had run out of your car, to even try to start it. You'd have been a fool to try to get here without any gas in your car. But no, you went and filled up sometime this week. You planned, hey, I'm going to have enough gas to get me to the house of God. Hey, that's good planning. Did you have enough prayer to get you to the house of God? Did you seek the face of the Lord in the middle of a time when it's no longer popular to pray? Amen. Y'all are looking at me funny. Is everything all right? My tie still on? Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We want to talk about Paul now. Paul gives us an exhortation to pray. You may say, Preacher Darren, Daniel's in the Old Testament. Oh, yes, there was change from one kingdom to another, and there was pressure. We get that. But we're living on the other side of the cross. All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and let's read how Paul has given us an exhortation to pray. Can I read verse 16 first? These are some verses that I memorized when I was just a little feller in school. They're great big verses, but they're really little small verses. But they have great big meanings to the verses. Look at verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you see that wedged in the middle of verses 16 and 18 is pray without ceasing? But now hear me very closely. Paul wrote in verse 16, rejoice evermore. Do not lose the spirit of praise. Do not lose the attitude of worshiping and celebrating and praising the name of our God. Rejoice evermore. No, listen. Oh, Preacher Darren, I just don't have a whole lot to rejoice about. To rejoice is a choice. You have a choice. When you come into the house of God tonight, you can enter His courts with thanksgiving. You can enter His gates with praise. We are commanded to do that. One time in the prayer room over home, I challenged all the men. We probably had 10 or 12 men in the prayer room. I said, I'm challenging you. When we walk in the sanctuary, I'm challenging you to praise God when you walk in there. I'm challenging you. The challenge was accepted. They walked through the back doors. Their hands were raised up, praising God, blessing His holy name. Just on credit, amen. And we never made Sunday school. The choir never got up to sing. I never got a chance to preach. People was a shouting and praising God. People coming in at 11 o'clock was getting in on what they're doing at 9:45. I'm telling you, it was still going at about 12:30. We finally had to dismiss. We came back on Sunday night and bless God, it broke out again. I'm challenging you, rejoice evermore. To rejoice is a choice. And if you'll spend time praising Him, the Bible says that He inhabits our praise, Psalm 22, verse 3. If you'll praise Him, then you're ready to pray. You know what I pray? You know what I need to do first? I confess my sin. Preacher Darren, you sin? Oh, yeah. Every day I sin, and I confess to Him my sin. And then after He forgives me of my sin, if I confess my sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And when I get into a place now where I can speak to Him, the next thing I do is I start praising Him. And you start praising Him, amen, and then it sure makes praying go a whole lot easier, amen. You'll have a whole lot better experience in the throne room of a Most High God if you'll go in praising Him than if you come in, oh Lord, by God, high and lifted up, I seek Your face, would You? Hey man, you need to go in praising Him. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Christ. He's the Day Star. He is the Eternal Father. He is God. He is the Hallelujah. He is Emmanuel. He is Jesus. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the Master and the Messiah, the Marvelous One, the Magnificent One. He is the Merciful One. Amen. He is the name above all names. He's omnipresent, omniscient, and He's omnipotent. He's the Quick, amen, and the Quickener. He's the Redeemer, amen. He's our Savior. He's our Triumph. He's the Unique One. He's the Victor. He's the Witness. He's the Excellent One. He's the Yahweh. He is the Zenith of all my hopes and the Zenith of all my expectations. I bless His holy name from A to Z. We can praise Him, amen. And if we'd praise Him, we'd spend some time praying and seeking His face. So it goes this way. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And then in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So we see number two, an exhortation to pray. There's a third set of scripture on my heart. Out of the book of James, chapter 5. Thirdly, there's the expectation of prayer. Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. The church is the army that marches on her knees. It's the most effective tool that we have. It's prayer, and it's the most seldom used. It oftentimes is the weakest area of our churches. Look with me in James chapter 5. Is any among you afflicted? Verse 13, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church
and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the earth gave her rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. We, as Christians, are expected to pray. If you're alive tonight, we're expecting you to breathe. Amen? And if spiritually, Jesus expects us to pray. Well, when should I pray? You ought to pray at every season of your life. You ought to pray at every circumstance of your life. Well, look with me. We ought to pray in seasons of suffering. Verse 13 again. Is any among you afflicted? The word is kakopatheo. It means to suffer trouble. It's to suffer hardships, trials, distresses, sorrows, persecutions. Is anyone tonight in a battle? Is anyone tonight under attack? Is anyone having trouble? Is anyone having trials? Is there anybody here say, preacher, I'm having a hard time. I'm distressed. What should I do? James tells you, let him pray. He gives imperative after imperative. Did you know that the small book of James has more imperatives than any other book in all of the Bible? There are 8 times he tells us to pray in these verses I just read. Through prayer, we'll be changed. Through prayer, we'll be impacted for the better. What should we do? Pray. Prosukamea. What does that mean, prosukumea? It means that when I bow my knee and bow my head and render my heart before him, that he takes me from where I am here and sets me down before the throne of grace and glory. You heard the pastor already say that we ought to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And yes, you may be sitting on a pew. And yes, you may be bowed at home. And yes, you may bow at an altar. But the Holy Ghost takes you and brings you to the courts of the Most High, where we praise him and thank him. And we come and he sets us down there. And he caresses us. And he holds us. And he bottles our tears. Prosukamea means I am brought in the presence of a Most High God. And the word is a present tense verse. Let him pray and pray and pray and pray. It should be your habit. It should be perpetual. It should be continual. Pray and pray and pray. But Preacher Darren, what if I have this hardship and God does not take away the trouble? What if God does not take this away from me, this suffering? Well, he'll give you grace to endure it. Paul 3 times, he said, I besought the Lord thrice because he had a thorn in the flesh. He had a messenger of Satan. He said, I've asked the Lord 3 times to take it away. But he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Amen. Hey, praying brings you into submission to the will of God. Praying does not get my will done in heaven. Praying gets God's will done on earth. You may say, Preacher Darren, I've got to twist God's arm. No, praying is God twisting your arm, amen, and getting you where you need to be to receive his will. You ought to pray in seasons of suffering. Look with me. Verse 13, is any merry? Let him sing psalms. You know when you need to pray? You need to pray in seasons of success. When things are well with you, the word merry, it means euthymeo. It means being well treated. It means of good passion. In a delightful season of life. To be merry is to be cheerful. It is rejoicing over the blessings and the goodness of God. Am I the only one here that say God's been good to me? I heard the choir yesterday morning, last night, again tonight. I heard y'all singing. Did you realize that when you're singing, they're singing psalms, singing spiritual hymns before the Lord. Did you realize that's a type of praying? The book of Psalms is a prayer book set to poetry, set to music. Amen? Yes. So Did you know that tonight, for those of you that came and sang in the choir, that was the prayer room? Amen? They're going up there to sing. Have you ever just been merry and cheerful and God just brought a song to you? I've got a friend of mine. His preacher's son died. Oh, it just broke our hearts. And his wife, the mother of that young man who passed away, she sat there and said, God's been good to everybody else, but he's not been good to me. God loves everybody else, but I don't think he loves me. Look at the hardship, the trouble. He took away my son. She sang in the choir. She quit singing in the choir for 3 years. She never got up to sing another special. For 3 years, she couldn't go back before the people during the times of singing. She used to sing in the house while she cleaned. She couldn't do it anymore for 3 years. And he called me and said, Preacher, you ain't gonna believe it, but one day I came home from work, and you know what I heard? She was singing back there in the bedroom as she was cleaning and folding and vacuuming and dusting. She was singing. He said, I fell on my knees in the front room to be thankful. I fell on my knees in the front room because I've been praying for 3 years that my wife would get her song back. And I got enough bravery and I went back to her and said, honey, could I bother you for a second? I couldn't help but notice you're singing and it's just done my heart good. What's happened? And she said, I'll tell you what happened. Today I got to the place to where I needed Jesus more than I needed my son. And God gave him a song back. I don't care what hardship you're going through. I don't care what suffering, what affliction. If you could get in the place to where you need Jesus more than you need what you lost or what you feel like you lost, honey, the song will come back and God will bless you in a mighty and a magnificent way. What does he tell us to do when we're cheerful, when we're merry? He says, let him sing psalms. Hey, listen now. Psalm 105 verse 2, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Did y'all realize tonight when you're in the prayer room, when you're in the choir, when you're up here singing, you realize that you're not singing for an audience. You're not singing for those online. You're not singing for those that's in the congregation here. You're singing to God. Let me just give you a few words of a hymn. I won't sing it because I want people to stay. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. What's the name of that song? How great thou art. He's not writing that song to sing that song to a congregation to please an audience. He's writing that as praise to an almighty God. And when we pray in seasons of suffering. When we pray in seasons of success. Whether things are good or things are bad, he's the God of the mountain and the God of the valley, and we're to pray at all times. Well, let's just go on. He says in verse 14, is any sick among you? Here's another time to pray. In seasons of sickness, the word is asthenao. It means to lose strength. It means to have physical illness. The imperative, what does he say? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Let him call. The word is kaleo. That means let him request. Let him ask others to come and pray over him. This is spiritual leadership. What are they going to do? They're going to pray over him. Prosukamea. As they pray over him, the whole group is brought before the presence of God Almighty. Woo! I feel it stirred in my soul before the presence of Almighty God. And there they are. Listen, they're praying over him. The one who's sick is not able. He's hardly able to go. He's suffered physical loss and physical strength is weak. Now, listen. The Bible says they're to anoint him with oil. The word, aleon, it is olive oil, that which is crushed. It serves as a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. They're to anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. I'm just reminding you, that oil being a type of the Holy Spirit, when the Good Samaritan, when he saw that man that was wounded and beaten and stripped and left for dead, when he came to him, he bound up his wounds and he poured in oil. Amen. Yes, he did. He poured it in as a symbol of the Holy Spirit's healing power. Bless his holy name. And he says, you're to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Onama. The name of the Lord. Onama. I got here early tonight. I was reading, sitting in the parking lot. It was dark out there, and I had to cut the interior lights on of the car. And I was reading about the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19. And they were going to try to cast out and exorcise demons. And they stood up and said, "We adjure thee by the name of Jesus that Paul preacheth." And the Spirit arose within that person and said, "Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you?" And he jumped all over them boys and tore them limb from limb. The word onoma means when you use the name of the Lord, that you know Him. You're not just using it as a byword or using it as a name that means nothing to you. That you know Him personally. You know Him individually. Hey, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but at the name of Jesus. And when we anoint with oil in the name of Jesus, the Bible says the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The word save is sozo. It means to deliver. Hey, tonight, youngins, we've been delivered. Bless His holy name. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, I thought about this. Preacher Darren, not everybody gets healed. Hey, God, let me tell you, I believe that if you'll come and anoint with oil in the name of the Lord, that it is an act of obedience, and God will bless that, and God will move upon that. But not every time is it the will of God to heal everybody. We've already mentioned Paul. He had healed many people. He would raise dead people. But when it came to himself, he couldn't get that healing. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Can I give you a verse of scripture in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 20? This is what he wrote. "Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." Now, surely Paul's raised dead people. Surely Paul's healed people before. But Trophimus, in 2 Timothy 4:20, Trophimus had to be left at Miletum. He was sick. In other words, it wasn't God's will for him to be healed. Hear me. You're not going to live on this earth forever. There's a time when God says, "That's enough. I'm coming to get you. I'm going to take you home. And you're going to be in heaven." Amen. It's not God's will to heal every single person of every single thing. But there have been times that there's been divine healing. Can I tell you about my son? Old Luke preached here about a week ago or so. Years ago, he had terrible attacks. He had migraines, stomach, abdominal migraines, where the serotonin is made in your stomach, in your abdomen, and it wasn't reaching his head, and it was severe. He would weep, and he would get on all fours. He said, "Something stabbing me, stabbing," weeping and crying, and they would give him morphine and all kinds of drugs and all kinds of medicines, back and forth, in and out of the hospital. We were having such a terrible time. God had laid on my heart that I was to take a wheelbarrow and put it inside the church, just the old, rusted out, cemented. I mean, just a wheelbarrow. It had been sitting in our church for about a month. Everybody kept thinking, "Is he going to take up an offering with that thing? What's he doing?" I don't know. God just said, "Put a wheelbarrow in there." Wheelbarrow. I thought about the handlebars, how it represents the cross. I thought about how we put the load, the fulcrum, we put the load on the Lord Jesus Christ. And anyway, it was just sitting there. And we was getting ready to take Luke to the hospital. And me and Miss Jean, I said, "Let's take him to the church first." She said, "I know what you're thinking." We brought him down to the house of God. Now, I know it's not your boy, so it don't mean nothing to you. But it's my boy, and it means a lot to me. I brought him to the house of God, and I laid him down at the altar, and I said, "Son, if it's all right, I want to anoint you with oil and pray over you before we go to the hospital. If he's here right now, he'll tell you about it." He said, "Daddy, go ahead." And we bowed over it, and we anointed him with oil. You may say, "Well, you should have called for the elders of the church. Your wife's not one of the elders of the church." Well, she is at my house. She's done more preaching to my house than I've done. Amen. That's her boy, too. We anointed him with oil, and we prayed, and we gave him to the Lord. And God said, "Put him in the wheelbarrow." I said, "What?" I said, "Son, I don't think you're going to understand this, but God wants me to put you in the wheelbarrow." He said, "Okay, Daddy." I got the wheelbarrow down. I picked the boy up. I raised him up. And I put everything, all the weight, I put it on Jesus. All the load was put on him. I began to roll this way around the church, and we made a lap all the way around. By the time I hit that first turn, my wife was already shouting. She was already praising God. She was about dancing. She's out here. I can still remember her saying, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." And man, she is practicing. I'm telling you, she is high-stepping around there. When we went all the way around, amen, we brought that thing back to the front. God said, "Now set it down and get him out." I said, "Luke, we're ready to take you now if you need to go to the hospital." He said, "Daddy, I feel better." You mean, preacher, Darren, all you had to do was put him in a wheelbarrow on it? I'm just telling you, God did something that night for us that no doctor, no nurse in this world would understand the prayer that was made there that night and the power of a God that hears and answers prayer. I'm just encouraging you. You can pray in seasons of sickness. You can pray in seasons of success. And you can pray when you've got times of suffering and sorrow going on in your life. You can pray. The Bible says, if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The word "if" means maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But we know that all, not all sickness is related to sin. You remember what they said? Jesus, "Master, who did sin? This man or his mother? That he was born blind, or his parents, that he was born blind." And he said, "This man's neither sin nor his parents, but for the glory of God." Yet at the same time, I could take you to a crippled man where he said, "Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee." Amen. Well, I've got to move on. Verse 16. Watch this now. When can we pray? We've gone through three seasons. Here's the fourth one. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. What does that mean? Your faults, your sins. You can pray in seasons of sin. You need to confess your sin to the Lord, and you need to pray one for another that you may be healed. The word "pray" is the word homologeo. It means to say the same thing. Do you say the same thing about sin that God says about sin? That's what confess means. It's to say the same thing. Do you tell him the same thing? Now listen, what it means is that you say that you come then, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I believe with all my heart that if you have private sin, you confess it to him privately. Oh yes. There's times I believe in this that I might need to stand up and say, "Church, I want you to forgive me. I've been unfaithful to the word. I've been unfaithful in prayer. I've been lazy. I've not been attending church like I should be attending. Will you pray for me that I do better? Would you forgive me of how I've been acting?" Amen. You and I need to find someone then when you confess your prayer, your faults one to another. That don't mean get up there and tell everybody every single thing you've done. That's not what it means. It means that you go find someone that's trusted. Someone that's a spiritual wise advisor. There's got to be someone in your life that, man, if you need to get a prayer through or you need to get wise counsel and spiritual advice, there's a somebody in your life, you know who it is, that you could call up or you could talk to and say, "Would you pray for me, Pastor?" This right here, listen, as a pastor, sometimes our minds are blown by things that go on. But I would never use that to hurt somebody. I want to use that to pray for them and to witness to them and try to help them and to try to encourage them. Amen. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. Watch this now. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He talks in verse 17 about Elijah. Elijah came on the scene when Israel was plunged into idolatry and they were serving Baal. And he began to pray. He said, "God, don't let it rain." And for 3.5 years when Elijah prayed, it never rained another drop. And that crowd said, "Well, Baal, he's the weather god. He's got lightning rods in his hands. He'll send rain anytime he wants to." But the Lord God stopped the rain because Baal is a false god. And my Bible says in verse 18 that Elijah prayed again. And now he's asked the Lord to reverse it and send the rain. And God sent the rain and the earth gave forth her fruit. Youngins, I want to encourage you, open the windows. Supplication of the saints. Pray. Seek the face of God. Jeremiah Lanphier, in 1857, the nation was plunged into a terrible economy. The threat of war, I mean, problems abounded. He went out Fulton Street in New York and he passed out flyers. He said, we're going to have a prayer meeting. We're just going to pray. Pray for our nation. Pray for revival in our area. He passed out hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of flyers at the appointed time for prayer. Five people showed up. Five. Was he discouraged? Did he quit? He said, oh no, this is God's number. Five is the number of grace. God's doing something. We better get ready for a blessing. He was so excited. When he finished praying with those five, he handed out all them flyers to them. He said, instead of me passing out flyers, now I got five more people to help pass out flyers. And they passed out hundreds more. They came back a week later. Now they had 14. He was so excited. God's doing something. He's already more than doubled. He's almost tripled what we started with. Hallelujah. God is blessing us. He was greatly encouraged. And the 14 went out passing out tracts and flyers. And the next week, 23. And the next week, 40. And within 18 months, over 1 million people had been saved. Because one man prayed. Pray. You're exhorted to pray. You're encouraged to make petition. And I'll tell you something. In a service like this, here you are on a Monday night. You've come to the house of God to be revived and refreshed and excited about the things of God, and you're just getting a reminder to pray. But more than likely than not, when an invitation is given to say the altars are open, would you come? You'll stand there and you'll do the exact opposite that God asked you to do. Tonight, He's asking you, will you, prosukamei, will you come to an old-fashioned altar where I can pick you up and escort you and set you down in the throne room of a Most High God? You may say, but I don't really have anything to pray about. Pray for me. Pray for your pastor. Pray for the young men and young women that make up your youth choir. You have no idea the pressures they face. Pray for the elderly. The widow and the widower, you may say, yeah, they're lonely. Au contraire, did you know that the most lonely group in America, according to the polls, is the people 18 to 24 years old? They're the loneliest people in America. And you may think, they got all these friends. They're so-called friends. And they know they can't always trust them. Are you the one that if they got in trouble, that you would, that they would call you? Would they have confidence to call you? There's got to be a mother here that wants to pray for her children. There's got to be a daddy here that wants to pray over his home. There's got to be a people here that wants to pray over revival in our nation, in our communities, and in our church. Daniel prayed three times a day. And when everybody was looking at him, and the law said he couldn't pray,
you can't gather more than so many down there at one time,
he opened his window, as he always had, not as an act of defiance, but in an act of obedience. He bowed toward Jerusalem, and he prayed and sought the face of God. I'm asking you, we have the freedom tonight to pray. That could be taken away. Do you value, do you treasure the opportunity God has given us to pray? It made a difference for Elijah. It made a difference for Jeremiah Lamphere. It'll make a difference in your life if you would pray and seek the face of Almighty God. Daniel said, I'm praying and seeking God's face. Would you stand with me tonight as we seek the Lord together? Folks are moving. I'm encouraging you, Preacher Darren. I don't go to church. You're in the Father's house. Preacher Darren, I'm a visitor. You're in the Father's house. I'm just asking you to get on your knee somewhere in the altar, somewhere in the aisleway, and just say, Lord, help me tonight. Would you do that with me? Would you pray? Would you pray and seek God's face? Oh, God, tonight. Oh, Lord of mercy. Oh, God of grace. God that is merciful and righteous. God that is just. Lord, you know that I have no merit. I'm undeserving and unworthy. But I come before a most high and a worthy God. And I celebrate and rejoice and I praise you. Thank you for sending your Son to die in my place. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for the peace that you've given us. Thank you for the pardon. Thank you for the redemption. Thank you for sweet forgiveness. Thank you for fellowship, God. Thank you where you said two or three are gathered my name. There am I in the midst. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit, God. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. Now, Lord, as we pray, God, there's times of sorrow, times of suffering. People are being afflicted tonight, God. There's times of distress. There's times of trouble. There's a battle. There's an attack, God. We're praying, God, would you help us? God, do you see the need? Lord, I know you do, Father. Would you help us in this hour, God? Would you deliver us, God? And if not, God, would you give us grace, God, to get to the other side? Lord, maybe there's somebody tonight, God. You've blessed them with a good raise. You've blessed them with a good family. You've blessed them, God, with a new suit. God, you've blessed them with a new home. You've blessed them with good health. God, tonight, Lord, you've given them a spouse. You've given them a husband. You've given them a wife. You've given them children. God, you've given them salvation. You've given them the promise of eternity. And God, tonight as we bow, we sing unto you, O Lord, my God, how great thou art. Lord, we sing to you tonight, God. We pray and ask God your blessing. Father, tonight there may be someone here, Lord, that's going through times of sickness. God, it's extreme. God, it's beyond, Lord, what they can handle. God, I pray they're pressed above measure. God, they're going through a time of suffering and sorrow with sickness, God. Lord, there's problems with their health, God. There's a cancer, Lord. There's COVID. God, there's heart issues, stroke issues. God, physical maladies, God. Tonight, Lord, I pray you deliver them. God, I pray you'd lay your hand of mercy upon them, God. And you'd help them tonight, God. Lord, you'd just move in our midst, God. And you'd bring healing into their life, God. There's no other kind of healing other than divine healing. Lord, maybe there's someone tonight, God, that has sin sickness. God, I pray, Lord, they confess their sin to you. God, you'd forgive them, God. You'd restore them. God, you'd bless them. God, you'd help them to overcome what they're facing. God, you'd do a great work. Help us, God, to open our windows, Lord. And we're exhorted. We're encouraged, God, to pray. And we exalt your name tonight, God. Would you revive us? Would you refresh us? Would you bless this dear pastor? Would you bless his wife? Would you bless your ministry here? God, would you bless your man? Would you bless your word? Would you bless your people? God, would you increase them? God, would you grow them? God, would you send revival? Would you answer our prayer requests? You said, Lord, if we'd call on you, you would do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Oh, God, if we really believe that, God, oh, how we'd pray and seek your face. And God, faith would be a whole lot better. Help us, God, I pray now. You know what's needful. Go further with us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. He's present, and it's good to know he's listening, and it's good to know he's promised, and it's good to know he's faithful, and I praise his holy name tonight, and I thank him for all he's done, and I thank him for what he's doing, and I thank him, honey, for what he's yet gonna do. Bless his holy name.
Thank God for revival. Revival in my heart, revival spirit. Thank you, Lord, for sending us revival. And after we pray, and after we seek his face, we'll hear from him. Everyone does what you're supposed to do in that. Everyone obedient to what God told you to do in that. Appreciate the goodness of God. Pray much. Come back tomorrow night. And pray without ceasing. driving down the road, do a lot of things at the same time. We can thank, we can pray, we can seek His face wherever you are, and God would be pleased, and He'd be honored. So let's do that. Would you stand in that? Thank you for coming. Thank all the visitors for being here. Appreciate the goodness of God that allowed us to witness the move of God in their heart. Thank you so much. The usher is going to be standing at the door, and the offering will go to our evangelist tonight as you leave. If you put something in that plate, we appreciate that. And let's just seek His face in that. Roger Silver, come up here, please, and pray with us and for us. He's back there at the offering plate, but they can give it to somebody else. Thank you so much for coming. Most of all, thank the Lord for His Spirit hover down over us, anointed the preaching, anointed the service. Presence of God. Lights out or on, it's comfortable to be in the house of God. It's comfortable to be. It's to be in His presence. And you can be in His presence alone, too. It gets even better, just you and Him. I do my best praying, just me and Him, nobody around. I'm a loner anyway. When you're alone with God, it's so wonderful.
Let's pray. Lord, our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, we come to You another night, Father. Lord, how could we ever thank You, God, for what we feel in our souls tonight, God? We thank You, God, for the message, Lord. What You sent tonight, God, we could never praise You enough, Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, for each and every one's gathered together here tonight, Lord. We thank You, God, for the blessing You bestowed upon us. But, Lord, most of all for Your Holy Spirit, God, without it, it's all in vain, Father. Lord, that You'd lead, God, direct us where You'd have us to go. Lord, tomorrow's another day, God, that we stand for You, Lord. Help us stand any up the hedge, Father. Their lights shine, Lord. Someone may realize, God, what we stand for. Lord, let our everyday life show what we are here tonight, Father. When we're outside this building, God, it really, really matters what people see in us, Father. And we praise Your holy name, Father. Thank God for Darren, Lord, sending to us, God. Lord, for anointing Him, Father. How could we ever thank You enough for what You've given us, God? Lord, we pray for this nation, God. We understand, Father. We all understand, God, You've blessed us so much, Father. But it's like someone said last night, we've turned her back. America's turned her back on You. But, Lord, help us most of all, Father, to realize, God, what this nation's founded for. God, for the ways and what we stand for, God. But help us, God, to lead a life that's pleasing to You, Father. God, for the leaders of this nation, God, You touch them. Lord, over Thanksgiving, I realize, God, I spent my time in Vietnam in the Marine Corps, God, and I thank You, God, for it. But I thank You, Lord, most of all for seeing fit for me to come back, Lord, to be saved by Your precious holy grace. And pulling me out of the mire pits, God, and set my feet on a solid rock, God. How could I praise You and thank You enough for this, Father? Lord, each and every one's gathered, the pastors, the leaders of this church, Father, we thank You, Lord, for each and every one. Lord, that we'd lead, God, and direct the way to have to go, Lord. Lord, there's so many things, God, right now tonight that we need to thank You for. For the Holy Spirit, God, for saving our souls, God, for our families, Lord. Help our families, Lord, be together, Lord, to realize what we stand for. Lead, God, and direct us. Pray, Lord, for tomorrow night You touch some precious soul. Lord, that's what it's all about, Father, but most of all, God, we'd be what You'd have us to be. We praise Your holy name tonight. Lord, we'll never fail to give the praise and the glory. It's in Your precious, holy, and wonderful name we have to pray.